for you. Hallelujah. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord, who came and saved me, the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength. Prepare me
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy,
tried and true, with thanksgiving. Yes, I'll be a living sanctuary. It is you, Lord, who came and saved me, the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me
a sanctuary, pure and holy,
tried and true, with thanksgiving.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord,
lead me on, Lord, from temptation, purify me from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Yes, tried and true.
Sanctuary for you.
Sing that one more time.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy,
tried and true,
with thanksgiving.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house. God bless you, Brother John.
I just want to thank God for letting me be here today. You know, you could be a lot of places. You could be in the hospital. You could be sick. You could be crazy. You could be all kinds of things. I just thank God for being here. You know, I was just telling God this week, I was telling him how much I love this word. You know, this word is everything. In the beginning was the word. And God is the word. And that's what came into me. I and my Father became one when I became one with that word.
Come on.
That word is the thing that stirs me. That word is the thing that gives me life.
Amen.
That word is the thing that tells me how to live and what to do. And you know, that old chicken, he can't get me because that word has me.
Right.
You know, Satan is defeated. Yeah. And anytime he comes at me, what do? I put the word on him. That's the thing. That's my shield. Right. That's my everything. You know, Dawn and I have been talking a lot about that, the armor, this week.
Right,
we were talking about the armor. And God has given us armor. And we know what it is. We're not deceived. You know, it's Palm Sunday, and a lot of people are coming together, and they're going through traditions and
customs.
That's
exactly right.
And they're getting a thrill out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just say, God bless each and every one of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bless them. But it's the word that holds me.
Yes.
It's the word that's everything to me. And I thank God for that.
Amen. God bless you, Brother John. My goodness. I am so happy to be here. You know, I was the other day, I was watching a thing on Netflix. It was about George Foreman. And, you know, I never really ever saw that fight before. But, you know, George Foreman was supposed to be some, you know, the guy, you know. And everybody swore that he was going to knock out Muhammad Ali. Well, Ali had to wait. He had to weather the storm because the guy was strong. He warmed down by his own punches. So took him to about the eighth round. Then he said, it's my turn. I'm here weathering whatever storm I got to go through. I'm here holding on to that word. That's what I'm holding on to. And when it's my turn, when it's my turn to gain that victory, because the victory's already mine. I just got to claim it.
Right.
You know,
Amen.
That's all I got to do is just claim what I've already got. You know, it's already ours by default. He said it was ours. All the promises in that book belong to us. And you know, I was thinking about the children of Israel, you know, how they had to eat new manna, fresh manna every day. You couldn't bring the old manna from, you know, from the day before into the new day, because the new day was altogether a new day. New set of problems, new set of circumstances, new set of grace and mercies. I need a word for today.
Amen.
I need, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
This day, I need my daily bread.
Right.
I can't do it with old manna. That old manna was great. It was good for that time. But I need what I need for today. Lord, give us what we need today. So I'd like to just sing a song here in moments like these. Number 44 in the choruses.
Let me sing a little chorus real quick. It was the word that flashed across the sea to mine. It was the word that called me to my day. Better find a key.
Yeah.
I've been not getting odd keys.
Amen.
Start off, brother, it's your song.
Yes.
That flashed across this sea to mine.
Amen.
It was the word that called me to my day. And now I know my revelation, who I am. And that's what draws me closer every day. It was the word. It was the word that flashed across the sea of mine. It was that word that called me to my day. And now I know my revelation, who I am. And that's what draws me closer every day.
It was the word. One more time.
It was the word that flashed across the sea of mine. It was the word that called me to my day. And now I know by revelation who I am. And that's what draws me closer every day.
know that, that all my time being here, that's the one thing that I know for sure. I am nothing without the Word of God.
That's right.
That's why I take an interest in the Word.
Oh, yes.
That's why I make it a point to know what the Word says about me.
Yes.
I know the Spirit of truth.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Word.
Yeah.
And I automatically know the Spirit of error.
Oh, yeah.
Anything contrary. I know that anything pulls me away from the Word
yes.
is Satan.
Yes.
I stay with the light. I stay with the Word. I'm safe. I'm secure.
Yes.
I'm at peace.
Oh,
I'm at rest.
Goodness.
More and more and more every single day. Come what may, from day to day. I'm so thankful for that.
My.
You know, Brother John, you're so right. And I'm sure you'd say the same thing. Boy, if there's one thing we've learned. Stay with that Word. Everything else is just waves on the sea, up and down, in and out, all my emotions, all my, you know, outside of the Word, that's all you've got is emotions.
That's it.
Write it up, write it down, whatever you want to do with it, you know. But, I mean, that's all the world's got.
Right.
That's why they go every which way, just emotions. Well, I think this is right. I don't think that's right.
Right.
No basis.
No basis.
You know, when you're out on the sea, there's no basis. You're subject to whatever wave comes along.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. I'm rooted. I'm grounded. I'm solid.
Man, that is the truth.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
It's so good to be back home.
Amen.
I just wanted to get up and thank God for this day. This is the day that He has made.
Yes.
And I'm so glad to be here. And it was good to be out with the pastor and Clarice last
Amen.
Week. But it's always good to come home.
Amen.
And just like that song said, He's changing me from the inside out.
That's exactly right.
And this word is drawing me here. It's not like I have to go to church. I have to go on Wednesday. I want to be here. I want that fresh manna for this day.
That's exactly right.
And this is the only place that I could get it. And
Amen.
I can't do anything else but receive His word because that seed is in me. God bless you.
Amen. There's another believer. Go ahead, Brother Seth.
Before I even got to sit down. Amen. You know, I was thinking, you know, think about working. You know, forget my voice. It's going out. You know, when you talk about an hourly worker, they're looking for a job.
Oh. Yeah.
Looking for just a paycheck. When you get higher and higher, you have to do the mission statement.
Yeah.
Your responsibility.
Yeah, right.
I've had to go. I know. You guys get on me every time. I've had to go to a couple different meetings recently with my new job.
Yeah.
And they require us to know revenue and all these different things that I didn't have to know before. Last time I was just an hourly worker.
Right.
I showed up, did my job.
Different mindset.
You know, I'm invested.
Oh,
I woke up this morning, I'm invested.
Amen. All
right.
This is a lifestyle. You know, everything else will come. Everything else will go.
Yeah.
Things will, you know, your friends, your family.
Yeah.
They may come by the wayside. They may not be here staying with you. But you know what's important? If you don't have your business down,
Amen.
You're not going to be good for anybody else.
That's right.
You can't get your job done.
Right.
You can't worry about anyone else below you.
That's
if I can't do my job, then everyone else below me will suffer. I have a duty, an obligation to this body.
Amen.
I have an obligation to my family. I have an obligation almost to this world to have, I have a job.
Yes.
I have to live a certain kind of way. There should be a certain duty. It should be a pull. It's not a work. It's not a work.
Amen.
It's a revelation.
That's
you know,
exactly
I love that because when you come in here, you know, you start changing. You start doing things you know you would do. You know, it's not one of those things I have to manifest.
Right.
But I tell you what, it's just, it's a pull.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the doors are open,
where
do you want to be? I mean, I could be at home sleeping.
Sure.
Yeah. It'd be easy to sleep. It's easy to not do something.
Right.
But you know what's going to cost you?
Yeah,
it says it's sweet in the mouth.
Right.
Bitter
on.
In the belly. There is a price.
Oh, yeah.
There is a price.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I would pay that price at any cost.
Amen.
At any cost.
Ooh,
because
on,
you know what? What's our example been? I saw Brother Childers in here.
Oh, yeah.
Right, he paid that price.
Right. Ooh.
He never came in, and I tell you what, that man never had a negative testimony.
No,
he come in after his family died.
No
sit right there. It's like, let me just talk to you a little bit for a while, church. Let me just talk a little bit. Because you know what? Yes, we have the armor, and I thank God for that armor. And all of the armor.
Yeah.
Because it's your choice whether you put the armor on.
That's right.
You have a choice in this day and age whether you're going to put that armor on. So if you're going to go out there without that shield, don't be confused when you get knocked down.
Yeah.
Don't be confused. Yes, when you don't put the helmet on, you get hit in the head. Well, you know what? Next time I put that helmet on.
Right.
He gave you everything.
Right.
Whether
right.
you want to take it, that's your choice.
That's right.
It's your choice. Yeah. If you want to get back, if you want to sit down there and not say nothing, that's your choice. Amen. But this is my time where I can come in here. This is a safe place where you can put the armor down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Jeremiah always sing that song. They don't know what the warrior cries, you know?
Right.
This is the place where you can lay down that armor.
Amen.
You know what? Hey, believers, yeah. guess what? I made it.
Yeah.
And it's not even a negative testimony. It should be joyous.
Yeah. Amen.
You
yeah.
made it through the week.
That's right.
You made it on Sunday.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't. You look at these pictures, and some of them have gone to glory, and some have just gone.
Yeah.
But you know what? You should count yourself a blessing that you walked through these doors one more time, because he said, yes, you could be in the hospital.
Amen.
You could be sick, and I say this every time, but I'm so thankful. You have a sound mind.
Amen.
You have a sound mind. You guys are sitting here, heads held high. No matter what you went through, I tell you what, that should be the biggest pat on your back that you made it through here.
That's the biggest
with your heads held high.
Yeah.
In this day and age, this neurotic age, this age
darkness,
of confusion, this age where it's just a mind. It just wants to fight your mind.
Yeah.
And you can come in here with a sound mind.
Amen.
I love that. Yes. I love the fact that you come in here, you know, Brother Kevin, that you're not a raggedy group of people.
Come on.
You can hold your head up like, you know what? All the devil wants to do is distract you.
Right, that's it.
That's all. He wants to keep you from this house.
That's
right.
it.
If he can make you 15, 20 minutes late, that starts there. He makes it comfortable. He breaks you down. Next thing you know, he says, well, you know, I don't have to go. I can listen to service.
I'm cool, good.
Yeah, it's distraction and distraction, distraction. Yeah. Before in your mind,
come
you're
on,
like,
brother.
You know what? I'm not even going to go.
Yeah.
I'll go next week. Next week.
Come
on. You know, I'll go next week.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And before you know, you're out the door.
Yeah.
You're out the
just
door.
Just like that.
So, I remember, I'm going to tell you this. I've heard it, and this is evidence-based.
Oh,
evidence-based.
My.
He says the best prescription is to get in the house.
Get to the house.
No matter what you're going through.
Yes.
No matter what you think. I don't care. I have dragged this dirty, filthy carcass in here, set it down here, dusted it off, and left better than I came in.
Amen.
That is a guarantee. Evidence-based practice says if you walk in here, come expecting.
Yeah.
Come what you got to come and bring something.
Yes.
You got to pull. It's not gonna be just handed to you.
Mom.
You got to pull on it. You got to ask God.
Oh.
You can't just be like, well, Lord, you know, I hope he gives it to me. Hey, I'm gonna need you to move.
Come on.
I've got an issue. I need you to move.
Amen.
I need you to move in my life today.
Come on.
Not tomorrow.
Give me the book.
Not. I need it now.
Yeah.
And when you eat it.
Yeah.
You've got to understand, you got to eat the whole thing.
Absolutely.
You can't eat some of it.
Yeah.
You can't take part of the word. You got to take the fullness.
Amen.
You got to wear the whole armor. You can't wear half the armor. The half armor doesn't do any good.
No.
You got to wear the whole thing. If you don't, you might as well not even came. You might as well not even asked. I like it because, you know, Brother Moore always said, you know, people don't talk or ask me because they don't want to hear the answer. You know, when God starts dealing with you and you start moving into that mantle, people will ask you if they either will or they won't, because they know what God will say.
That's exactly
they
right.
know. They're like, well, I'm not going to ask him. Like, I don't want to ask Dad because I know he's going to say.
Yeah.
Well, then you're wrong. Then you're wrong.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you have not because you ask not.
Come on.
You know, that. I mean, it says scripture. That. It says the word was in the beginning. The word was him. So
these
all backs up. You know, seek ye first.
Yeah.
You know, all things work together.
Right? Yes.
For them that believe, though.
Yeah. For them.
You know, there's all, we have all these scriptures, but you know, I can't express how much we should be thankful that we can come in here and just be amongst believers.
Right.
A safe place.
That's
because
rare.
I've heard since I've been in this for quite some time, I've heard Brother Childers say this won't last forever.
Come on.
They will close this down. We saw COVID close. We saw a virus
close
it down to where everybody's looking for a lottery ticket to be the part of the 10. Yeah, so I'm going to take it seriously because I want why I have it. Like what Sister Teresa said, I'll believe, I'll testify why I have a chance.
Yeah.
Why I have a chance? Because I may not have a chance anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So if I can get in here when I'm amongst believers, I'm going to be like, you know what, Lord? Thank you that you let me walk in these doors one more time.
Amen.
Where I can hear from God one more time. Because you know what?
Goodness.
I'm either A, going to have a body change, or B, I'm going to be here again.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win for me, but
sure.
I just am so thankful in this day and age that I can have such a peace of mind that when the storm does come, because it does come.
Oh yeah.
It's sure. not. A, I'm not going to sit here and act like the storm doesn't come. No. I'm not going to act like the chicken doesn't sit there. Sometimes, you know, if light shines on something big enough, that shadow looks really big.
Right.
But you know what? You just gotta. You know, like Brother Jermaine, he said. I don't know who said it, but he says, you know, you have a second. You can be mad for a second. You can catch you off guard for a second.
Oh yeah.
But then you're like, you know what? I have a choice.
Oh yeah. Amen.
It comes back to I have a choice.
Yes.
Am I going to let this be in my emotions? Right. I still have 10 of the inlets. Or I'm going to, you know what? Nuh-uh. Put the word on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I'll make a way.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know what? Thank you for a sound mind where I can just take a second and be like, whoa,
oh, my.
Whoa, not today, Satan.
Yeah.
Not today.
That's right. Sure. Amen. God bless you, Brother Ted.
Amen.
First of all, I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Yes.
No better place than here.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Really isn't.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful for the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
I just was thinking about, you know, your life, your living, is your testimony to others.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can be a blessing. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Or you can be no earthly good.
That's right.
You're still going.
Yeah,
there's
right.
no
sure.
no doubt about that at all. It depends on who you want to do, what you want you yield yourself to. And I tell you, it helps getting here to keep your mind clear of your job.
Yeah.
It takes this. That's why you need to come to the house of God.
Yes.
It's very important because, you know, my goal is, my job is just to be not earthly good, but to be earthly good.
Yes.
To be a example to my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And I had a lot of thoughts, and I just it goes so fast in my mind, and I never can get out what I want to say.
Yeah.
So I'm trying my best to level it down. I understand. Your mind goes, whoosh, and I'm like, oh man, here's the thought. You know, I just want to express my thoughts.
Yes.
But I am so glad to be here for one thing.
Oh,
amen.
God bless you.
And all my life, everything my life and everything's come from right here.
Yes.
And I just wish I could say what I want to say because I try. But anyway, I'm just glad to be here.
Yes. Amen. See, that's why this word is so important. You know, this word, it gives you your identity, tells you who you are. You can't even make your election sure without the word. It's a big deal, you know, and I just, it's what you examine yourself with. God bless you. Let's sing song 44 in moments like these.
In moments like these, I lay out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. I sing out.
song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord.
Something I always do when I do get a prescription is I look it up, find out what is it for, what are the side effects, why am I taking it?
Yes,
right.
And as I look at this prescription, it's simple. It's yes. 5 pills. The side effect is perfection. That's what you get when you come in here.
That's right.
You start getting perfected in here. That was the promise of God. The fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
Right,
if you want to get perfected, if you want to get a perfect revelation, if you want to get to know God, just come on in here. And if you don't stay home, it's your choice.
That's right.
I have a choice whether to take my medication each morning. You have a choice to take your medication.
Right.
You have to make a decision
onto it.
Do you want this perfection?
Do you want it?
Is it really that important to you?
Right.
As I look up here, I see a lot of people aren't taking the prescription. Well, I mean, that's your business.
Right.
Good luck with that. But you don't get what you asked for.
Right.
Amen. I'm taking this prescription because I want that perfection.
That's right.
That has promised. God has promised me the results of this prescription.
Amen.
Onto it. It's important to know why
we
do these things. Well, that's why we do it. That's why we come in here. That's why we follow the prescription. Is to get the message of the fivefold ministry.
That's exactly right.
For the perfection of the saints.
Amen. Amen. If the brothers would come and get the offering. Let me get the announcements out of the way here. So we got the Easter service coming up this next weekend. Yep. Now, I want to say it again. 8:30. 8:45, you're already running. You're pressing. 8:30, the safest way to go. 8:45. Good luck. 9 o'clock, we've done left. Yeah. We're gone. Takes time to pack some bags. So just be mindful of that, you guys. You know, set your clocks. Whatever you got to do, you know. I know what I'm doing. And Wednesday, March 27th, Brother Covey is coming. He's got a treat for us. Always love Brother Covey coming. Men's Fellowship, April 27th. And I'm just looking so forward to that because I love getting together with my brothers all the time. And then the women have a fellowship. We didn't leave you guys out. June 1st. And then on May the 5th, the church is going to be visiting True Word Tabernacle. So looking forward to that. And there's going to be more to come. So just be on the lookout for those things.
Amen.
All right. Let's sing 224. It Is Well With My Soul. And we'll get them up. God bless you. Appreciate the testimonies.
attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
Satan should buffet,
though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control.
Try. Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, it's so good to be able to come to your house of worship. Amen. So good to be able to be here one more time, knowing that we've overcome the devil and made it back. Yes. No matter what we went through this week, Lord, we've come to the conclusion that it is well with my soul. I'm not tossed, I'm not turned, but I've made it back one more time to hear from you again. Lord, we ask you to come this morning, and I can hear you in the testimonies. I can hear you in the songs. Now I want to hear you as we open up your word and speak to our hearts, Father. Lord, there's many that are out this morning, some because they want to and some because they couldn't help but not be here. And Lord, we ask you to just be with them. Deal with hearts. Deal with mind. Let us have a made-up mind, Lord, so that we won't be tossed to and fro like this world is. Thank you, Lord, that it is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord, that it's well with this house. Thank you, Lord, that it's well with this word. Thank you, Lord, that it's well with your plan. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that you're letting it be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Have your way this morning and continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always good to be in your presence and to be able to fellowship around the Word of God. That's the best thing that we have going for us. And it's always good when we can make it back to the house. The testimonies this morning were spot on. You got to get to the house. You know, if you can get to the house and you don't come and you say, well, I'll just sit and listen at home, you're not going to get anything. Because God's not going to bless that when you could be here. He said, get to the house of God. He didn't say, get to the internet. Now, and there's some people that can't be here because they don't have that opportunity that you have to be here. But if you can be here and you don't come because you don't want to come, then that's a different subject. And so I pray that God will deal with all of those who just sit at home, because when you're just sitting there at home, you're not getting anywhere. Satan's got you where he wants you. You know, Satan, I was thinking this morning, he said, Satan's trick isn't to get you out of here and get you to hell. You know, he's been doing this a long time. He's pretty good at his job. And you know, he knows for a fact that not one seed of God he has ever gotten. He knows that. You're the one that don't know that, but he knows. You know, the devil, he ain't dumb. He's been trying to get the seed of God since Adam. He hammered and hammered and worked and connived and tricked him and everything else. And when Adam got to the place and Satan saw Adam aging, he saw his hair turning white. He said, ha ha, I did it. I got him. He saw Adam get old. He saw Adam watch as his son killed his other son. I was going to say his stepson. He watched that. And Satan said, see, I hurt you. Because you know it hurt Adam. And then Adam got old. And I don't know which one went first, Adam or Eve. But if Eve went first, he got to see death of a spouse. And Satan's like, aha, I got you. Then Adam got to a point, he's like, you know what? I can't do this no more. I'm old, I'm tired, and I'm going to lay down to sleep. So Adam died. And Satan thought, I got him. Ha, ha, I got him. But what Satan didn't realize at that point, Adam went down to hell. God said, I'm going to put you over here. Satan said, you might have him over on that side of the gulf, but he's in hell. And he thought he had him. Ruined his life. Messed him up. Then one day, he heard the door get kicked in. Then Jesus came. Amen. And said, wait a minute, wait a minute. But he's mine. He sinned. He messed up. Jesus said, you know what, Satan? I paid for that. That one belongs to me. And he said, Adam, come and go with me. I got a place prepared for you. And though Satan thought he had him, he never had him. And even you, when you struggle through your problems and you have your ups and your downs and your doubts and your fears, the same one that paid for Adam paid for you. And as much as Satan didn't have Adam, Satan doesn't have you. And I was thinking this morning, I said, Satan's known the whole time. He knows the seed of God. Because when he throws stuff at the seed of God always bounces back. He may fall, but he's always going to get up one more time. One more time than that he fell. Seed of God will always pop back. Seed of God will always come through. A seed of God will always make it. Satan's lie is try to convince you. That's his lie. He's trying to convince you that you're not a seed of God. And if he can just get you to believe that, even though you are a seed of God, you'll give up. He's got you right where he wants you. And you know what? Like somebody said, you're no earthly good. You still belong to God. But God can't use you because you're bogged down with Satan's lie. And when you finally realize, wait a minute. Just like it is when you're having a bad day. Wait a minute. Just like it happens when you're feeling sick. Wait a minute. Just like it happens when you have problems come your way. Wait a minute. So all you got to do is wait a minute. Think about who you are. Think about where you come from. Think about who really owns you. Think about the part of you that really belongs to God. Satan can't touch that. Never have. Can't. Will never get you. So though he knows this, all he does is try to trick you into believing that you're not who you really are. That's the only trick he's got. People stop coming to church, not because they're not seed of God, but because Satan has tricked them into believing that they can sit at home and be okay. You're sitting on the internet right now and you should be in the house of God because Satan has tricked you into believing that you're okay at home. But do you realize that's his trick? He used to trick people to move from the front of their church to the back of the church and out the door. But he's got a new trick now. in 2024, he's got a trick called the internet. And he's tricking people all the time. And they think, well, I still believe. I think I believe, because he's saying he's messing with you. Not the whole time he's putting doubt in there. I think I'm a son. I think I'm a daughter. And the whole time Satan is getting you further and farther away from the house. He don't care if you wear a long dress at home. He really don't care if you don't drink and don't smoke. He don't care if you don't cuss. All he cares about is getting you out from under the word of God. And if he's done that, I've seen a lot of people leave the church and still wear long dresses. And I scratch my head thinking, I thought you believed. You left the one thing that you needed was the word of God. And to justify your own thinking, Satan don't care how good a person you are. A lot of people say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. That's Satan's line. Because he's trying to convince them of who they are not. His whole game plan is to convince you of who you are not. But the reality of it is, if you are a son of God, you overcome that. I've had many people over the years, Don from many, many years ago, walking in the valley. I'm looking for something. I need something that's got a punch to it, something that's got a, you know, that was Satan's lie. Because the evidence of the Holy Ghost is not whether I feel like I've got the Holy Ghost. Because there's a lot of days I don't feel like I got the Holy Ghost. But what does the Word say? See, the thing that defeats the devil is not how you feel, but what the Word says. That's the only thing that defeated him when he approached Jesus. What did Jesus use on him? It wasn't how he felt. It wasn't what he thought. It wasn't what he believed. It is written. The only thing that defeats the devil is the Word of God. And the one thing the devil wants to get you away from is the Word of God. He don't care how nice you are. He don't care how holy you are. He don't care how smart you are. He don't care about any of that. As long as you do it at home. As long as you're out of the house. That's what he wants. So every testimony was right on time this morning. I was sitting down on the organ. I was like, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I hear you. And I was thinking about this at home. I said, his only trick is to get you out of here. Get you to stop coming. Get you to stop supporting. Because when you don't come, you don't support. And I ain't talking about your money, because you might still send me your tithes. You might still mail you my offering. They do that. But they're not here. Ask yourself this morning, am I so sick that I have to tune in the internet? Or was I going to be late for church? So I thought, well, rather than be late, I just won't go. I'll just tune it in. Satan's newest trick is the internet. Because then you could keep your jammies on, get your cup of coffee, lay in front of that big screen TV. But what does the word say? Assemble, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Even that much more. Even that much more as you see the day approaching. That's the word of God. So I'm going to use the word of God on you. Because that's what we got to use on the devil. And his whole trick is to get you out from under the word. The whole trick. The whole trick. That's it. You can be as nice as you can be. You say, I never lied to anybody. I never defrauded my neighbor. I never did this. I never done that. At least I'm a good person. You might be a good person, but there's going to be a lot of good people that miss it.
That's right.
You said, but you said, if I'm a seed of God, you will be okay if you're a seed of God. But make your calling and election sure. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, the Word. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You say, well, I'm not sure. Only way you're going to get sure is get under the Word. That's the only way. When you hear the Word of God, what do? Let's ask that question. I'll get to that in a minute because that's all part of it. What do you do when you hear the Word of God? Well, I believe it. Okay. That's what he asked. What other evidence do you need? Well, I just don't feel. Don't worry about your feelings. Well, I feel like I need to. No, don't do that. Just what does the Word say? It is written. It is written. It is written. What does the Word say? When the Word comes across your path, what do you do with it? Well, I believe it. Okay. Then that's it. You pass from death unto life. You got it made. Well, I don't know for sure. What don't you know for sure? What does the Word say? See, the thing is, we always go back to the Word.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. If you're sick as a dog,
Come on.
What does the Word say?
That's right.
By His stripes, I'm healed.
Yes.
If you're blind as a bat, what does the Word say?
Yeah.
By His stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
If you're dying with cancer, Lord, what does the Word say?
Yeah.
By His stripes, I'm healed.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So we don't stop believing the Word.
No.
Believers, they call us believers for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah. They don't call us livers.
No.
They call us believers. Because when the Word comes forth, I believe it.
Amen.
What the Word says I am, I am.
Amen.
Yes. Matthew chapter 24. Let's stand and read this together. Just a few verses here. We want to start at verse 4. Here they were walking out there on Mount Olivet with Jesus. And Jesus has some things to say. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I told y'all were right on it. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, not the beginning of the end. See, people are using those to show it, oh, we're at the end time, there's earthquakes and diverse places. No. Those are just things that's going to bring sorrow. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You get cold on him. But he, verse 13, that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Like to title the message this morning, Enduring Unto the End. Like I said, y'all preached the message before I even got up. Had a good time at Brother Fred's on Wednesday night, and Lord blessed the services there. I heard the services here, and they were Lord blessed here and there. God was blessing in both places at the same time. And Brother Fred and his congregation bring their greetings. And I'm planning another trip in October. Fred asked me, one of the first things he asked me when I got there, you come up to my meeting in October, right? And I'm like, so you're having it every year again? He said, yeah, we're having our meeting. He said, but this time I want you to come and stay longer. I don't want you to come and go that quick. He wants me there for the meeting. So I said, Fred, okay, I'll come. And what I may do is just instead of getting the big bus like we did, I told you it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip. He didn't go. He missed that once-in-a-lifetime trip. We may get a van or two. And those who could come down, maybe we'll have one van come back early because I know some people are working and have to get back to town. And then some of us who could stay longer may be in the other van and stay a little longer. But we'll work out the details and plans. Fred says he's going to send me the numbers. The dates, and then from there we can start planning. So they're not tired of us. Their congregation loves our congregation. They want to see you again, and we really appreciate them opening their doors for us and allowing us to come in fellowship with them. And so it's good. It's good to be able to get out. Now we're going on May 5th up to Bluffton, Ohio. And they want us to come and fellowship with them. When I'm not preaching there, I'm coming, and we're just going to go and hear Pastor Lawson preach. But I said, I'll just bring my whole church. We'll just transplant over to your church. And they got a real big group there, about 300 or 400 or something like that. So we'll go and be a part of their congregation and just enjoy the fellowship. So we'll do that. That's in May 5th. And so we got things starting to roll. I know at some point I'll probably be going back to San Diego. Brother Rosaldo is doing well. Last time I saw his picture, he was doing really well. So Lord bless him. There's a lot going on. So it's not an hour to give up. It's not an hour to slack off. It's not an hour to start missing. It's not an hour to leave it to somebody else to do. Like Seth was saying, we got a bit of a responsibility here. We got an obligation. Brother Childers said, I believe you should have a sense of obligation to your home church. And so we've got this, and we've got to keep moving. We got things to do. There's people who don't understand what you understand. People haven't been blessed like you've been blessed. And there's people who've been blessed like you, but we just want to fellowship with them. I'm not going down to Carolina to change their church, not going to the Bluffs to change their church, just going to fellowship with people. We're having a good time together. But in order to do that, we need you. And we need you to be a part of things because that's how this works. This way God's always done it. Now, enduring until the end is a real important point that I want to bring out this morning. And you all have done a great job of making that point even at the front part of the service. But here's the trick that Satan has. He's going to come and mix everything up. That's why he has all the different churches. You know, false prophets out there, people out preaching this and preaching that and doing this and doing that. If you got a church that's preaching you 100% the truth, what more could you want?
Amen.
What more are you looking for? What else could God do for you than to give you of himself?
That's right.
Now, if I'm not preaching the truth, then that's one thing. Yeah, go find you a man, bring it word upon word. But if it is word upon word, and you've seen God move, you know, God's moved in this place. He has vindicated himself so greatly amongst us. And all the signs and wonders and healings and all, and he's done all these things. But that all besides, you have 100% truth being preached. The greatest thing, if there was never a healing, if there was never a sign or wonder, if you got nothing else outside of the Word of God, you got the greatest thing you can get right there. What more could you want? You say, well, I need to go and find it. You won't find it. No. Go look. Yeah. Turn on any TV station, Christian or otherwise. Visit them. Search them. Look at them. We've been there, done that. That's what brought us here. Yes. The Word of God is what brought us here. Amen. You say, but I was born and raised in this, and I don't know nothing about that. You don't need to know nothing else. You have enough your own thinking. Even if you're born in here, because you're not, that's not something you get by going to church. You're born with the wrong thinking. Messes are out. Seth's been in this message all of his life. I know. I was around when he was born. As best man at his daddy's wedding. But being born in Fairborn Community Tabernacle Church and that's all you know all your life, that's not the answer. You must be born again. Everybody. One preacher tried to tell me one time, he said, you know, now that we're in the eighth day and our children are being born, they don't have to be born again. They're born into this thing. I said, no. I said, all right, explain it however you want to, but let me tell you this one thing. The Bible says you must be born again. You must repent, and you cannot repent as a baby. And God does not have grandchildren. And I don't care how you fix it. I don't care how you word it. You're so smart and you got all the answers, but I do know one thing. You must be born again. And that's everybody in the kingdom of God. So the children that are born in this message don't get a heads up because they're born in this message. Because until you get a revelation, you're full of your ideas. We're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Come here speaking lies. Even message kids tell lies. So you got to be born again. You must receive the word of God for your day. You must receive it. Revelation chapter 10 says, come, take the book and eat it. But you have to say, give it to me. It's not an hour to force a person to serve God. You'll serve God because you want to serve God or don't serve him.
That's right.
That's right.
Satan's whole trick is to get you not to serve God. His whole lie is to get you sick, get you at home, get you away from the word, get you away from the people, get you away from the truth. Because he knows when you pick up the word of God, you can defeat him. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you get the word of God in you, sin has to go.
That's right.
Unbelief is sin.
Yes.
The word of God produces belief. If you want faith, get the word.
Yes.
You want to have something to believe in, get the word. If you want to be strong, get the word. If you don't have, you're only as strong as the word that you've received. If you don't get much word, you won't have much strength.
Amen.
If you don't have much strength, you won't overcome.
Amen.
Because you're only gonna overcome by the word of your testimony.
Right.
By the word.
Yes.
You say, I feel weak. Get some word in you.
Yes.
Gotta eat more. Yeah, you don't eat. In the natural, you get weak. I was just thinking, 7 days without church makes 1 week. You got to get to the house because that's where you get your strength from. That's what makes you who you are. You want a personality that matches God, then get to the house. Because if you don't know the word, you won't even know how God acts. You don't even know what you're looking for. People walked up to Jesus and didn't even know who he was. Sir, we would see Jesus. People sitting across the table from Brother Branham said, what we need in this hour is a major prophet. People come to the house here. And they're looking and say, we need to have the truth. As long as Satan can keep you looking and hunting and trying to find it somewhere else, he's got you where he wants you. You can be a good, nice person. Smile all you want. Be nice. Have a nice, tender voice and everything else and never hurt a flea. Oh, don't kill that fly. Let me open the window and let him outside. That might be nice. That might be dandy, but you're still at home.
Amen.
Just humble as pie. Don't have nothing to hurt. Couldn't hurt a flea. Just, oh, so, oh, I'm such a nice. But you know what? Without the word of God, you're still hell bound.
Amen.
You say, I thought you didn't preach hell. I don't, because I'm talking to believers. But if you don't believe the word of God, you're hell bound.
Amen.
Unless you turn yourself around, you're lost. The only way to find out where you're at is to find out first you're lost. You think you know where you're going. And when you're driving somewhere and you think you know where you're going, you ain't worried about nothing. But once you find out, oh, I'm lost. Then you ask for help. Then you pull out the GPS. See, I got to use these new terms now. Then you turn the GPS on. As long as you think you know where you're going, you won't even turn the GPS on. They say, well, I don't need the GPS to go to work. I know where I'm going. Well, you turned down the wrong street. Oh, where am I? I need some help. As long as you think you know what you're doing, you ain't coming to church because you don't need the help. You think you know where you're going. But let me tell you, outside of coming to the house of God, you're lost. But you can't even get the help you need until you recognize you're lost. This ain't a place you come for a six-month checkup. I go to my doctor for a six-month checkup, and I feel like I'm wasting money. Good thing I got insurance. They cover it. You go in there, and they come in, and they take your blood pressure, and they check this. They say, so what are you here to see the doctor for? He told me to come. So is there anything wrong with you? Nope. So why are you here? 6 months ago, he said I had to come. He just wants to make sure I'm still okay. See, that's what I do with believers. Come back Wednesday. Come back Sunday. I'm just checking you out, making sure you're okay. Keep you healthy. Now, something's sneaking in on me, and I'm going in and cough a little bit. Doctor, whoa, let me check that. Check my lungs. Yeah, you feel, I feel hear a little rattle in there. We need to fix you up. We need to give you, I like that prescription. If you don't take it, that's on you. We get the prescription every service. And if you don't take it, don't blame me. Don't blame the doctor. Don't blame the pharmacist. Oh, those no good doctors and pharmacists. What's wrong with you? I got something. Did you go to the doctor? Yeah, I went to that doctor. He's a quack. He don't know what he's talking about. Did he give you something? Yeah, he gave me some medicine. I ain't taking it, though. Who's the fool here? You come to the house of God. God brings you to the truth. You hear 100% the truth. And then you're going to sit at home and not take the medicine. Jesus told us a long time ago. He says, take heed that no man deceives you. You're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. We've been hearing it since the beginning of time. Man is just evil. He's just rotten. He'll fight if he doesn't have anything to fight about. You know when you're going to school in grade school and they're getting those lunchroom break, we go out on the playground and they'll be fighting. I said, what are they fighting about? I don't know. They just make something up. Boys will just fight. I even saw some girls fight. I went to school one day. It's like 7:30 in the morning. It's before school started. And I walked up through the hallway and I saw hair all over the floor. I'm like, what in the world is this? Two girls have been fighting. Before class even started, they make up reasons to fight. People make up, man is just continually evil. He couldn't get along to get along. That's man for you. That's nature. You're going to have wars and rumors of wars. They're going to always be wars. The last war is Armageddon. And that's where man's going to destroy himself. He has fought from the beginning to the end. From Cain and Abel, fighting his brother, all the way to the end. And it's always Satan's kids who starts the trouble. You ever had trouble with somebody in the church? I know y'all haven't. I have. And like, I didn't do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Satan's going to come after you. He just, they don't like for some. All I did was testify. Get up here and testify. People jealous, people mad, people want me to sit down. You talk too long, you shouldn't talk at all. You don't know nothing. You just, that's what they do. They despise, Don says, of those that are good. It's Satan who always persecutes the believer. Oh, we're not up here with sticks and clubs and, oh, we're going to go down to Fred Mullins. We're going to just knock him out. Believers aren't doing that. I'm happy to be in the house of God. I'm happy to just sit next to you, to sing next to you, to share this love, that this beautiful message. I love that. But Satan has to raise up somebody and come in amongst you. And he does that all the time. But you know, they never stay. Remember my title. Enduring until the end. They never stay. They come in and cause problems, cause splits in churches, and cause mess. And then they're gone. And they try to take as many people as they can with them on their way out. But that's the devil for you. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, that's the end time. No, that's just the beginning of sorrow. That's just part of this world order. Now, it's just a mess. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You know you can kill somebody without killing them? Kill their influence? Clarice, I can't stand that Melanie. I didn't touch her. Kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I can't stand those Christians. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. They sell you out in a minute. Well, I tell y'all, the worst people in the world are church people. They'll love you till they hate you. Brother Childers always said, yeah, they love you till they find out enough about you. Then all of a sudden, they don't like you no more. Then all of a sudden, what you were, the best thing since sliced bread, now you're the devil on wheels. They're just from one extreme to another. They can't just love you. Unconditional love, that ain't no such thing in the church. It should be. They get offended, and they betray one another, and shall hate one another. And Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, before the church even started. False prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said over there in Revelation, I'd rather you be hot than cold. Hot or cold. Either get in or get out. And some people think, well, I believe what you're preaching, but I'm not one of them, so I might as well get out. That's Satan's lie. If you believe it, then you're one of them. But Satan lies to people and get them home. Because he wants you at home. He don't want you here. So he'll use any excuse, any old lie, any old problem. He'll use people. He'll use your brother. He'll use your sister. He'll use gossip. He'll use anything to get you out of the door and get you home. He ain't worried about anything other than that. He don't care how holy you are. I've seen people who write songs. Beautiful songs. Inspired songs. Walk out the door. Musicians who could play. Best in the country. Walk away from the word. Preachers who could preach. Run scriptures. Teachers who could teach. Walk away. But what they don't understand is that's all Satan wants. He don't need to send you to hell. He needs to send you home. Let you feel good about yourself. You know, they always end up saying, you know, everybody, they started saying, this is bad, this one's bad. Oh, this group is bad. This clique is bad. Oh, that half of the church is bad. The right half, always, they come dressed up and they look like they're Christians. But this half, you know. At Bethesda, we had a poor section. That's what we called it. Because they had the big auditorium with the theater seats, cushion in the seats. They had cushion seats. And the ones with the big hats and the big furs and the big money givers, they sat there. And the woman with 10 kids and the Wallys with 12, the ones that didn't really have new suits to wear every Sunday, we sat over in the poor section. Now, those are side seats. You didn't even get to look at the pulpit straight on. We had to watch from the side. We had a side view of the preacher's silhouette. We sat on the poor section, and they didn't have cushions on those seats. No. They were these benches that y'all are sitting in. Sorry, y'all. We're a poor church. But, I mean, that's what they did. They separated. They had groups and cliques, and then they had the mothers of the church who always wore white. They had their own little section to sit in. The preachers had their section, and the bishops had their sections, and the poor folk had their section. But that's church for you. That's why I'd move us around. Every once in a while, I'll tell y'all, get up, switch seats. Because y'all start building forts. You come in with your book, your bag, your Bibles, and this. John told me, John said, I had to start keeping my stuff in the bag because you keep moving us. But we do. We get our box of tissues, and we get our little papers, and our song book, and our little Bible. We don't even take our Bible home. We just leave it because that's my seat. We mark our place just like man. Yeah, mark your territory. Get your little. We are just by nature do these things. That's like reminds me of that poem about the monkey. He said, "I've never seen a monkey put a fence around a tree." They said, man says they came from us. They ain't come from us. Well, that's just man's nature. He, by nature, is rotten. And the only thing we have that's not rotten is the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that calls to you. It's the Word of God that keeps you. It's the Word of God that takes those spirits off of you. You got to endure. You got to hang in there. Because if you don't hang in there, it's going to swap you up. You are no match for the devil. Only the word is.
Amen.
Jesus tried to tell us all this stuff is going to happen. He said, but he shall endure. He that shall endure until the end. The same one. Same one. Let me say, that's why I say I can outlast you.
Amen.
Y'all didn't know I had scripture. Oh, yeah. I'm an endurer. I'm going to stay in. I'm going all the way. Say, how can you talk so big? What else am I going to say? Duh, I got 10 years worth in me. That ain't the Word of God. Word of God tells me I'm going to endure. Word of God tells me to stay in there, hang in there, push. Don't give up.
I don't care how bad it gets, don't give up. I don't care how rough it gets, don't give up. When you're dying of cancer, don't give up.
No, sir. Amen.
Say what the word says. What the word says you are, you are. I say I can do. I can outlast you, because when I say that, people get nervous because they think, "Oh, am I gonna be? Am I gonna fall away?" No, you got to say that yourself. Brother Chills used to come in and say, "I'm the only one who got it," and he'd say that. And at first, when I was young, he'd say that. I'm like, "Oh God, help me!" And then one day he said, "I'm the only one who got it." I said, "Wait a minute. You're not the only one. You may have been the only one, but you're not the only one now. And when I say I'm going to outlast you, you should say I'm going to outlast you too."
Amen.
That's got to be your testimony. If it's anything less, then you're not believing the word of God, because the word of God says you'll endure. The word of God says you'll go all the way.
Yes. Amen.
So I'll outlast you.
That's right.
That's what I'm here. That's what I should be here. We're going now all the way together. That's like we're saying, those that are alive and remain. Oh, I hope I will. No, I'm one of them. I'm going to be one of them. That's my scripture. It says, what if you die? Then I got another scripture. But for right now, I'm alive and remain. I can only deal with the I am present tense. I ain't going to talk about coming up from the dead when I'm alive. I'm alive and remain. And remain.
Yes.
Not just alive.
Yes.
I'm enduring. I'm hanging in there. I'm going all the way.
Yes.
He says, oh, I'm so nervous when he says that. You shouldn't be. You should be saying, amen.
Amen.
Well, like Brother Childers used to say, Brother Moore, I heard we're having a split. I said, where are we going, Brother Childers?
Yeah.
Where are we going? Because we're going somewhere. Where are you and I splitting to? See, you don't talk yourself out of this thing.
Right.
Talk yourself into it.
Amen.
Don't say how little you got and how poor you are and how you're the leftover soup. Leftover nothing.
Amen.
Ain't nothing left over about me. I ain't raggedy. I ain't tore down. I'm not the rejected ones. I'm the very one he's looking for. I'm the one he called. I'm the one he chose. I'm the one he justified. I'm the one he glorified.
Yes.
That's what you got to talk about this thing. Yes. You don't even talk about yourself just being a Christian. I'm already glorified.
Already.
How can you say that? The word says that.
Yes. Oh, my God.
After I get finished with y'all, y'all going to be enduring. Y'all going to be like, oh, whoo.
Yeah.
Nah. He that shall endure unto the end, the same.
Yes.
The same one, same person, not hitting and missing church. Come in one week, gone for three. Come in for another one, gone for another two. Well, I might as well stay home. And it's Easter. They're going to be going away. I guess I'm not going to go. Not going to go. Where are we going? That's what Ruth said to Naomi. Naomi's like, I'm going home. Ruth said, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lay your head, I'm going to lay my head there. Wherever you live, I live. That's the way I'm with the word of God. Oh, he that endured to the end, that's me. I don't even have to take a chance. I don't even waste time just trying to figure out whether it's me or not. The word says it's me. He says, how do you know the word's talking about you? Because I'm the word. I'm a believer. He that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. That's us. But you got to hang in there. You can't. See, the thing is, you can't go by how you feel. That's Satan's lie. Oh, I don't feel like a Christian. How's a Christian feel? I don't feel that. I said, what's the... What are you looking for? You got the word of God. Word of God said I am. What else you need? What else you want? What else you looking for? You got the prescription. You got the medicine. You got everything right in your hands. It doesn't even have a child lock cap. You know how it gets us older people? The child locks are a mess on medicine. No, this ain't even locked. Freely is given. Freely received. This word comes to us free. All you can handle. It's like a smorgasbord. You can't take too much. You can't eat too much. You can't serve God too much. You can't give him enough of your time, enough of your life. You can't give him enough of anything. But you got to do it yourself. Hitting and missing ain't going to get it. I told y'all about that time. I said, I was preaching one time, and I was saying hitting and missing is like hitting and missing in a sentence. I won't do it. They asked me later, said, how'd you do that? I was talking. I hit and missed a few words in the middle of my sentence, and congregation's like, what? It's like, you can't understand that. So when you hit and miss in church, you come and hear one portion of it. All you hear is predestination. Hallelujah. You run out the door, and I'm predestinated. You ain't heard enough to understand what it means. Because if you come to the next service, God's going to tie predestination with foreknowledge.
Right. Right.
And if you miss the foreknowledge part, you walk out saying, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. If I'm not, I won't. You ain't got nothing to even play with. You got half the story. You got half the picture. You got half the word. But that's why coming service after service, because we build. This church builds on service. We don't have 365 different messages that we choose from or 52 that we recycle through. We build on every message. And it gets fresh and it's new and we build. And it's not even something that we study, because if y'all don't notice, the congregation preaches as much as I do. Y'all always blame me for us being out late, but I think y'all have a little something to do with it too. Because the congregation throwing stuff in there, they're throwing a piece of meat all the time. Throwing scripture. And I ain't got enough sense but to just sweep it up and put it in there with it. Put it up. Mixing it. Mix it all together. Because when you get all together, I get it from the back, I get it from the front, I get it from the middle. So it ain't just me preaching here. It's the body ministering to the body. And by us all in this together, you know, you go to some church and it's he talking. What's that? That deacon in the back. What's the doctor? Y'all. I can't like your services. It just, y'all are too disruptive. But what they don't understand is all I'm doing is stirring the pot.
Right. Yeah.
Don comes by and puts onion in.
Yeah.
Brother Locker comes in and throws in a couple of green peppers.
Yeah.
And somebody else throwing a little of this. And somebody throwing a little of that. He said, well, what kind of church order is that? This is my church order. But can you smell it? It smells so good.
Yeah.
It's got just the right flavor. And you can't get this at home. You can't get this hitting and missing. You can't get this when you're not totally surrendered to it. And you don't, if you're not obligated to this place, and you're just in and out, and up and down, and no wonder you don't feel like you got it. If you don't feel like you got it, check your attendance. If you don't feel like a manifested son, check your attendance. If you don't feel like you're a manifested daughter, check your attendance. Because you got some people who, oh, they come marching in here. Oh, I got something to sing today. I got something to do. I got to put this in. I got that. Remember when Christy first came? Oh, how humble. She sat way back there. Way. I'm talking like the second row back. Wouldn't say nothing, wouldn't do nothing. And she got too much word in her.
Yeah.
And she's like, whoa, I got something to put back into this service.
Yeah.
Y'all know I play a foot. Oh, let me show you what I can do.
Yeah.
She brought that. She started with a student. She's like, that ain't good enough.
Nope.
Then she got another one. I think she might have had two more. I lose track. She loves flutes. I lose track. Then she said, her husband was like, hey, they can't hear you.
Roll it up in there.
Amen.
But that's the way it works.
Amen.
That's the way it works. You want to get involved, get involved.
Right.
You want to be a part of something, be a part of this.
Yes.
Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Satan's whole trick is to keep you out of here. keep you thinking that you don't have it. Think you're not good enough. Think you need to look for something that's going to give you more punch, more flavor, more this, more that. And the whole time, what you need is the Word of God, and it's sitting right under your nose. And because it's sitting right under your nose, it's too close. They say you can't see the trees for the forest. It's right under your nose. It's right in your face. And because it's not something that, see, Satan's trying to work on your emotions, your feelings. You got 10 inlets that he plays with. And the one that he doesn't have access to is the one you don't give credit. For you to hear the Word of God and say, that is nothing but the truth. That right there comes from the soul. Because if you didn't believe it, then you wouldn't need it. And then you say, well, I don't know if I really believe it. What do you mean? Well, I don't feel like I believe it. See, people, y'all gotten smart these days. Y'all have outsmarted me. Y'all use different terms. And where y'all used to say, I don't feel it, y'all don't tell me that now. Because y'all know I'll jump on that with both feet. They don't use that term. So they say, well, I don't know if I really, really believe it. What do you mean? You either do or don't. Am I preaching the truth? Yeah. You're preaching the truth, but nothing. Am I preaching the truth? Yeah. Now, if I'm not preaching the truth, I get it. I tell you to run. But if I'm preaching the truth, I don't care how you feel. I don't care whether you feel like hooting from the housetop or crawling under the bench. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. All I'm doing is putting a word out there. And if it's the truth, it's the truth. Whether you feel it or not. Whether you like it or not. I don't come here to try to teach you a message that's going to make you feel good and run an aisle. If I did that and all you did is run an aisle, I'm missing something. But if I can come up here and preach you the truth, and every time I open my mouth, you say, you know, I believe that. You know, that is nothing but the truth. You know, that's the right. That's right. That's right. I don't care how you feel. You say, well, how do I know if it's right or not? Do you believe it? Yeah, but how do I know it's right? Do you believe it? So I'm getting all these excuses out of your head that you've been using. Well, I believe it, but I don't know if that's all of it. What else you want? If I give you directions to my house, and I get it down to the corner, turn right, go down to the light, turn left, go to the highway there, turn right, get on the highway, get off the first exit, turn left, go down, turn that corner around there, and I give you direction right to my house. What more do you want? That's all you need.
Amen.
If you got directions to heaven, that's all you need.
That's it.
You say, but I don't feel like I'm going. You'll feel like you're going when you get there. Just get there. Satan's lying to you. Satan's tricking you. See, you got to understand his tricks. His trick is not to make you a bad person. Matter of fact, his baddest trick is to make you a good person. He wants you to be good enough so that you don't need him. Because you don't need God. Because the devil, you know, the devil ain't messing with me. The devil ain't messing with you just because he already got you. The biggest sign that you're a son or a daughter of God is that Satan's talking to you. You know what I used to, Satan used to always talk to me when I first come in here. He'd say, you're not one of them. I'm like, I am. I think I'm one. No, you're not. Look at you. You're a wreck. And he'd get me that way every service because I'd come here and I'd look around and everybody was so good. They look so good. They dress so nice. They talk. God bless you. And I just felt like I just didn't have it. I kept looking around at everybody else, and they're all better than me. They're all smarter than me. They're all more revelated than me. They had the word. They had the message. They carried Brother Branham's books. They had the Bible like Brother Branham carried it. Oh, they did all the right things, and I come stumbling in here. Did I bring my Bible? I just was a mess. And the whole time, the devil's whispering in my ear, you see, you're not one of them. They're so good, and you're so bad. They're perfect, and you're rotten. And I'm like, oh, every Sunday, okay, you're right. I'm not. One day, I got a revelation. And when I got my first revelation, I said, wait a minute. I'm one of them. And I stopped looking at my brothers and sisters, and I wasn't saying one of them. I said one of them. I'm part of the body. And the devil changed his tune. He stopped singing that to me. That I, he said, fine, you're one of them, but you're a rotten one. See, the devil, he'll only hound you with what you let him hound you with. As long as you let him tell you something and you believe it, he will keep using that, and he'll use that, and he'll use that until the day you finally say, enough is enough. When I said I didn't think I was a believer, he rode me with that. But the moment I said, wait a minute, I am a believer. I believe everything that's being preached here, Satan. He said, fine, you believe it, but you're no good. I said, yeah, okay, you're right. That kind of tried to drop this, drop that, clean up this, clean up that, clean up my life, getting everything up, carrying my Bible. Got my message books and my Bible, and I started looking like all the message people. And I was like, and they told me, you have to know this and you have to know that. And I looked at Brother Childers one day, and I had all this stuff. And I said, Brother Childers, do I have to know all this? He said, nah. I let it all down. Yeah. Brother Childers says, if those message books confuse you, come here and listen to me. Don't even read them. Amen. If the Bible and the message books gets you confused, don't even read it. Come here and let me preach to you. I mean, that's the way it is. You're not doing this to get educated in this thing. And then I found out that I didn't have to live like that. You realize how relieved I was. Then Satan stopped talking to me about that. You don't live good enough. Fine. Don't worry about that. Now everybody thinks you're a bad liver. See, the devil will do that as long as you let him. And he will lie and lie. He's the father of lies. You will never outlie him. So, all right, I'm a believer. I'm not as good as others, and I'm this and that, and I have problems with it, and on and on. But, you know, I come to find out, wait a minute, I belong to God. I come from God, and I'm going back to God. I'm going back to God. I'm going to endure to the end. How do you know you're going to endure to the end? Because I've been born again. That's right. You cannot even be born again if you don't endure to the end. That's right. That's right. Every believer will endure to the end. Amen. Whatever the end is. They had an end every age. Yes. But the believers believed everything in every age. As much as God gave them, they believed it all. Yeah. And acted upon it and lived it to its fullness.
That's right.
So will you. And you're going to do that because of who you are, not because you learned something, not because I require something. People get on me all the time. They say, well, you don't require nothing of your people. Oh, I don't, but God does. I appreciated my song leaders this morning. I come in and I look and I said, my song leaders, they were back in here. Remember a few weeks ago I said, y'all need to get together before service, get serious about this thing, maybe pray about it and get the songs and stuff together. It'll make a difference in the congregation and its services.
Amen.
Y'all remember me saying that?
Yeah.
Somebody actually listened.
Amen.
What?
I sat there and then service time came, they come out of my office. I fixed that up for me. I fixed that up for me. They have. I see. I've been gone. Well, don't tell on me, Brother Lockett. I thought that's beautiful. You know what that tells me? I'm sincere about my job.
Amen.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm presenting the body.
Amen.
And it makes a difference. The congregation, it'll make a difference. The congregation falling in the line on how to do things. They're doing it. Makes the whole service flow. Makes the preacher want to preach. Makes the congregation want to testify. Makes the people want to sing. Don't want to miss nothing. Don't want to stay home. Oh, I want to get there. I don't know what God's going to do. Get excited about who you are. Get excited about what you have. Because this is the best thing that God has ever given you.
Amen.
Now, the devil hates us. He does. There's no love lost on that on him either. I hate him too. But Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He didn't want him for work. He just wanted to just kill him. You ever had a sifter? Have you seen a sifter? My mama had one when I was growing up. You pour the wheat in there and you pull that handle. I don't know what they do nowadays, but we pulled the handle and the sifter would sift the wheat, the corn, the flour through. That's what Satan wanted to do to Peter. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. See, all he's after is your faith. He don't care how good or how bad you are. He is after your faith, your revelation. He wants you to forget who you are. He wants you to feel like I'm not one of them. He wants you to feel like it doesn't matter after I come. It does matter. Satan is trying to sift you as wheat, church. He wants to take your faith away from you. Not your good works, not your good living, not all your problems, not this or that. He wants to hit your faith, your revelation. He wants you to feel like, I can't be there. I can't be one of them. He wants to sift you just like he did Peter. And Jesus didn't pray that Peter become a stronger physical man. He didn't pray that he become a wiser man. He didn't pray that he did anything other than what he was doing. But he prayed for his faith. He said, but I pray for thee that thy faith faileth not. See, that's what he's trying to get you to fail. He's trying to get you to fail in your faith. Well, I just nod him. And he starts out very slow. He's very slow. He starts out so small. He don't start out having you curse God and die. That ain't his first move. He starts out real subtle. Deceiving. You know the way they cook lobsters? They take a lobster and they put it in that cold water. And they turn the fire under it. And it's like, man, this is pretty good. And after a while, it's like, okay. It's a little tough here now, but okay, we're good. I can do this. The sun must be hitting the water. After a while, it's cooked. That's the way Satan does. He doesn't start out throwing you out of church. You don't come in here with your head on backwards saying, ah, curse everybody in this place. I hate the whole church, and I don't love the word of God. No, that ain't the way it works. He'll first shoot you with a little poison. Well, I know he said, but I think. It's not that important. It doesn't matter. We've all got our own revelation. I can't go by his revelation. I got to go by mine. Oh, he didn't read that right. I don't know. I'm going to have to go look and see what Brother Branham said about that one. Well, you know, I don't know if he got everything right or not. I mean, you know, who has it all right? He's just a man like I am, just like everybody else. I think I'll get to church, but I'll get there a little late. And, you know, that Isaiah, he said talks too much.
I'll get there at the last part of sunk service. Well, you know, I'm not feeling the best today. I think I'll just tune it in. Oh, the weather's bad. The weather's bad. I think I'll just tune it in. I believe what they're preaching, most of it. You know, I did have a problem with that one thing he learned, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm good. Oh, it's spring. Weather's nice out. If I just tune in from home, I can get off noon because I know he's going to finish at noon. I get off at noon. I get to that restaurant that I love before the line. You know, all these church people line up. All the Christians, they get afternoon, you got to have, you know, okay, so now I'm listening from home. It's like, oh, I overslept. What day is this? Oh, is this Sunday? I didn't know it was Sunday. What time is it? 12? Oh, well, I missed it. No, it's 11. Oh, well, I might as well not tune in now because I'm late. I ain't going to get it. It's too late to tune in now. Oh, is this Sunday? What time is it? 12? Oh, well, I missed it this time. I can listen. Yeah, they'll post it after and I can listen to it later. Oh, are y'all still going to that church? Yes, he's got you. He just slowly turn it up. That's the way he does it. But I pray for you that your faith faileth not.
Amen.
I pray for this body. When I see y'all slipping, y'all missing, y'all slowing down, y'all, you know, y'all stop testifying, y'all stop being involved, you stop singing. I would sing with the voices, but I don't know that song. So, and then you stop getting up, you stop, and you're slowly, rigor mortis is setting in. And I see it, because I'm the man on the wall.
Yes, you are.
I'm the man on the wall. I watch you when you start slipping, dipping, missing, hitting and missing, missing and hitting. And I pray for you.
Amen.
That your faith faileth not. That's all Jesus could do for Peter. He couldn't fight it for him. He couldn't fight his battle for him. I can't fight your battle for you. I got my front to keep. You got your foxhole. You got your little area to protect, your position to keep. You got your area. All I can do is pray, God, let him stay awake. Let him stay awake. Don't let Jay fall asleep in that foxhole. Because he looked a little sleepy when I saw him at break. All we can do is pray for you that your faith, your revelation, faileth not. If that's all Jesus can do, we can do no more than that. You tell me I'm having trouble, I'll pray for your faith. You tell me I don't know if I'm this, I'm not that, I'm not, I'm praying for your faith. Because only the believers are going to go all the way. They're going to endure to the end. He said, well, are you telling me I'm not a believer? No, I'm praying for you. I got my best prayers going out for you. Think about it. Everybody gets tested. Every son. Think of Job. Job was a good man. He didn't have no problems. He's a good believer. He believed in God. Served God. Wasn't even doing the wrong thing. Just to save time, I won't read it, but I'll tell you where it's at. Some of you write scriptures down. Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Job was a good man. Loved God. Served God. Didn't do nothing wrong. God put a bet out there with the devil. He said, hey, Satan, what are you doing? He said, I'm just looking for somebody. Just going to and fro. Just trying to find, if I can find somebody whose faith is failing. And God said to the devil, hey, they consider my servant Job, Job's something else. He's a believer. He's a true believer that loves me. And he will never fail to serve me. I bet you. He said, that rich guy down there,
Honey, them all that cattle too, that all that lamb, his wife and all his goody two shoe kids. No wonder he serves you. You give him everything he asks for, you give it to him. If you pull all that away from him, that's what I told Brother Victor before, because he likes to feed his congregation. And I've told him, I said, Victor, because he got all these people coming to his services. I said, Victor, you stop feeding those people, you'll find out who the believers are. Some people sit there long enough just to get the food. You're in a poor country. And I get it. I love Victor, and I send him money on y'all's behalf to help him periodically, just to help him. I said, you stop feeding those people, you'll find out who the believers are. When adversity hits a believer, when the test hits the believer, it brings out what's in them. Remember, a believer is going to endure. But all that problem does is show the devil who you are. God already knows. Remember, he declared at the end from the beginning, he knew Job wasn't going to sell him out. You got to understand, the devil don't know everything. He's dumb. He doesn't have foreknowledge. A lot of people try to think the devil foreknew this and the devil's planned that. Oh, no, he is shooting in the dark. He is just as blind about tomorrow, Monday morning, as you are. You got to prove it to him because he doesn't know. So God already knew the end of Job's trial. He already knew that Job was going to endure to the end. He had no doubt that Job was going to go all the way. Oh, but the devil didn't. He's like, you take all this off. I bet you. I bet you. See, y'all don't think God bet. He said, I bet you. You take all the way, I bet you he'll get rid of you. He'll curse you. God said, just a second. Went to the end of Job's life. Come back. Okay. I bet you. Take whatever you want. Take as much as you want. And the devil was on it. He's like, all right. He said, oh, by the way, the one thing you can't touch is his soul. Don't touch me. Leave that part alone. Because that part is the part that endures to the end. So he took all the stuff away, and Job's kids died, and Job's animals died, and everything happened, and the last thing was his wife. Man, woman thou gavest me. Closest thing to him, come up and said, Job, look, we're poor now. We lost the kids, animals are gone, we ain't got nothing. And this God that you claim, this God that you claim loves you. And see, that was the devil talking through her. Anytime that anybody says anything to you that's opposite to the word of God, it's the devil. I don't care if it's your wife, your kids, your husband, your parents, your grandparents, anybody that says anything contrary to the word of God is the devil. They're just a vessel that he's using. He's speaking through them. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? That devil's sitting there looking, waiting to hear. Job looked around. He said, I don't have nothing, but let's just look at nature. Just says, I don't have nothing. Let's look and see what God's got. So I see trees fall, lose their leaves. It's spring. He said, you know what, wifey? He looked up and he saw Jesus, is what Brother Branham said. And he said, wifey, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see him in my flesh when he comes. He was prophesying. That's a believer for you. When adversity hits a believer, they don't give up. They don't lay down. They don't turn away. They press towards the mark. They move into what belongs to them according to the word of God. Job looked around, he had none but the word. It says, and nature testifies of the word of God. If nothing else, you can see the resurrection this time of year.
Amen.
Next Sunday's Easter Sunday, according to the world's tradition. But Easter, all the Easter lilies are popping up. Everything's starting to testify of the resurrection.
Right. That's right.
If you don't have a Bible and can't read that, if you don't know a revelation and you don't know nothing else, just look at nature. Amen. Nature will testify to you that he lives. I serve a risen Savior.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Job was tested. In that darkest hour, Brother Branham said, when his wife said, curse God and die to death, yet he said, woman, thou speakest like a foolish woman. The Lord give and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even his wife turned him down. His church turned him down. Everybody turned him down. In that dark hour, when he just didn't know where he was going to get it from, Jesus came along. And then he screamed out, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last day, he'll stand upon the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God,
amen,
whom I shall see for myself.
Right.
In his darkest hour, then Jesus come along. Yes, sir. That's Job. Think about the Hebrew boys. See, y'all think y'all don't want to get tested. Every believer gets tested. Those three Hebrew boys, they said, we're not bound down to your God Nebuchadnezzar. We ain't going to listen to you. That's against the word of God. Over in Daniel chapter 3, they said, we ain't worried about it. Listen to how they said it. They said in verse 16, because they called them. They said, now, these three boys didn't do like you said, Nebuchadnezzar, so we're going to have to do them wrong. And the king got so wroth with him, he got mad at him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee to this matter. We ain't worried about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Oh, one way or the other, we're gone. Out of your hand. He is able to heal me of cancer.
Right. Yes.
But if he doesn't,
right,
if this earthly tabernacle could be dissolved, I got another one. Yes. He's able to solve your problem.
Right.
But if he doesn't, I'm still going back to God where I come from.
Amen.
We've got an answer to all of Satan's questions now.
Right.
We don't have to sit here and be defeated. We don't have to sit here and wonder if I'm good enough. Am I going right? No, we got answers now. We know who we are.
Amen.
They said, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't care what you do. Either way, we're getting delivered out of your hands. God can come and he can do what he wants with that fire, but if he doesn't and we burn to pieces and go back to dust, that's all right too. He's able to deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I won't change my testimony. I'm not going to listen to the devil's lies. He tell me I'm not good enough. You're right. But he's good enough.
Amen.
And it's the word of God that he's given me that helps me to endure to the end. It's not because of how good I am. I'm getting tested and tried every day. Some tests I pass, some days I don't. But that doesn't matter because his word of God is still true.
That's
right. I don't even pay attention to the tests and trials now. He said, what? I'm not keeping score. Because he's not keeping score.
That's right.
There is not even any place in me to put sin.
That's right.
So why am I going to keep up with it if God's not? Why am I going to try to, I got to remember. Oh, God, we're coming here sometime. Oh, Lord, y'all just don't know how bad I was Saturday. Oh, I had such a bad Saturday. I was awful. I did this and this, that. We don't want to know. We don't. And you know the one that's really mad? Is that devil. Because you come into church and he'll meet you at the back door. Not the deacons. I'm talking about the devil. You'll walk past the deacon and the devil will be right on your shoulder. You know what you did last night. You know how bad you were. Wow, how dare you come to the house of God this morning? You better just go to your seat and just sit down and be real quiet. Don't sing. Don't even raise your hands. Don't testify because you know you were bad. You're awful. And you go to raise your hands. He's like, look at you. Look at you. You're raising your hands. You know what you did last night. Look at you. You're awful. You hypocrite, you. And he talks and he talks and he talks. And then you get up to testify. He's like, sit down. You, where are you going? You know you can't get up here. You know what you did yesterday. And you get up here and you say, God is so good.
Amen.
You're lying. He kept me in the midst of all of my trouble. You know what you did. God got me back to the house of God one more time. You don't deserve to be here. You shouldn't be up here. Go sit down. You don't. And you go back to your seat and say, it's like, you hypocrite, you. You hypocrite. All because you're following what the Word of God says.
Amen.
It's the Word. The Word tells me that He's taking care of my past, my present, and my future. So if He's done it, then I'm righteous. If He's done it, why can't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. And I press towards that mark. And it doesn't matter what the devil says. I am an overcomer. I will endure to the end. The Word is on my side. No matter how bad it looked to the devil, I ain't worried about what it looked like to him. He said, "But you're going to go to the judgment." I'm not going to the judgment. You got to pay for this. I will on this side. I'm paying for it right now. I'm not feeling the best. But that's okay. I'm still here. I'm still praising God. I'm still enduring to the end. Doesn't matter about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I'm here to hear from you today. I got to say amen to you. I'll jump on down here. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every unbelief, every sin which just so easily besets us. We get thrown every day. Oh, the boss chewed me out. Oh, my wife didn't make me breakfast. Oh, my husband didn't give me any money to go shopping with. We get beset with everything. All the day long. And let us run with patience. Isn't that an oxymoron? How are you going to run with patience? You know what that is. That means you're going to run. But do you know a runner, a real runner, they pace themselves. So they patiently wait. And then that kicks in and they run with patience. They're not struggling. You know me, when I start, I'm struggling. And the more you struggle and fight, you know, the key to running, and I'll tell y'all this, this will help y'all out. I used to run it. You get your pace. Get your pace in your feet. And then get your breathing in with your feet. And then you get your arms swinging with your breathing and your feet. And after a while, that second wind kicks in and you find yourself just moving. Running with patience.
Amen.
See, I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. I just have to run with patience. This race that's set before. What race? Life.
Amen.
Life. Looking unto Jesus. Not to you. Not to me. Not to how I feel. Not to how anyone else feels. Who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Because he had something ahead of him. He went through his trial. He put up with it. I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. Well, I feel better if I listen at home. Doesn't matter how you feel. What does the Word say? Because of what was laying ahead. Because the Word of God lays these things out there. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You can faint in your mind. I've seen them do it all the time. They drop like flies. Oh, It all in your mind. Because ain't nobody hating you around here. Ain't nobody messing with you around here. Matter of fact, we put the word out there and we say, eat as much as you want. Take it. It's yours. It belongs to you. The promises are yours. If you don't take it, if you don't take the medicine, take it. But you got to take it. He said, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving in sin. It ain't cost you that much. It ain't have to take blood from you. It ain't cost you. No. No, you don't have to do all that. It says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. You forgot. He's talking to you as children. Run this race. Don't give up. People drop. Our young people. I got a whole generation of young people just fell out. For no reason. They just stopped running. That's only heard part of the word. I'm predestinated. They think they're a son or daughter of God. They really do. He's speaking to us as children. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. We came and come here every service. We get rebuked. I know I do. This house of correction. You're in the wrong house if you don't want a spanking. You know, when we were growing up, we got whippings. Now, there was some houses that didn't give whippings. And we would long to have been in those houses. We pined to be in those houses. But you know what? Those whippings are what made us. We're not pushovers. Maybe that's wrong with this generation. I never put that together. They needed a few more whippings. They didn't listen. Because by us being raised like we were, we're not easily tossed around. We're rugged. When we run into problems, we dig our way out. When we have shortcomings, our generation figure it out. This generation, if the remote stops working, they call Best Buy, get a new TV. With a new remote that comes with new batteries, when all they have to do is change the batteries. No push. COVID hit the world. They all went home and stopped working. Still home. Can't get them to work. Go to restaurants. You got to wait a long time because the people aren't there to serve you. They don't want to work. They want everything handed to them. They want free. They want the government to give them free payment for everything. I went to college and promised to pay my bill back, but now I don't want the government to take it and pay it off because I don't want to pay it. I don't want to pay my bills. But I signed the paperwork. I told the light company I'd pay them once a month. I told the water company I would keep up with my bill. I told them if I get this house, that I will pay the house bill. I did all that. When I went to Springfield and worked for that public housing, there's a girl that all her rent was, and I kid you not, $1 a month. That was her rent. I can't say much, but that was her rent. And our rent is, if you're late, it's $25. She came in, and this is not a joke, this is true. She came into my office. I was livid. She came to my office and gave me $26. I looked at her, and I said, you don't know anybody that didn't have a dollar? I got all over her. I said, do you realize you paid enough
or 2 years rent? How stupid. I said, don't you ever come in here and miss your house rent payment again, ever. I mean, I really got on, because I was mad about it. It's like, you pay more late fee than your rent. Well, that's this generation. They needed more whippings. Please, parents, whip your children. I know what they tell you about science and all of that. And put them in a corner, count to three and all that. Take away their Nintendo and whatever you got, and time out and all that. I know about all that, but you know what? It has raised up a generation of vipers. Okay. For whom the Lord chasteneth and scorneth every son who he receiveth. Every one of us. Every one of us gets it. We all get it. You ain't special. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. If you endure. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, if you don't endure this thing, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. That's the way God does it. But you got to hang in there. You can't give up on the first service. You hear a preacher one time, oh, I ain't going to that church. Come back. Listen. Hear. I get rebuked. We all get rebuked. Think it not strange concerning these fiery trials that try you. That's what Brother Branham said. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character? That comes through suffering? No, sir. We all have trials. We are all tried and chastised as sons. Not one but doesn't go through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hadn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12, 6 and 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now that special condition in Samaria, he's talking about the church age, must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. That is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we might suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffers long and is kind. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For if so persecuted, they the prophets which were before you, they persecuted the prophets, so they're going to get you. You're going to go through something. We all go through something. You're not the only one that doubts. We all doubt. We all doubt. We all doubt. That's a human nature. It's a human condition. We all doubt. Like Don says, you know, doubt my doubt. You mean Don's who's been here for 40 X years is doubting his doubts? He doubts? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Word says. The Word says, over top of my doubts. Over top of my thinking. I'm going to endure all the way and go all the way to the end. I'm not going to listen to what I say. I don't even listen to myself. I don't. You can't listen to yourself. You'll talk yourself out of this thing. You'll talk yourself right home. You're sitting there today saying, is he talking to me?
Yes. But you got to doubt your doubts. You don't lean on your doubts. You don't lean on, well, I don't know. I don't feel, I think, no. What does the word say? It is written. That's the only thing Jesus used on the devil that worked. They still killed him. But he had to go that way because that was what the word says. You need to understand that you don't depend on nothing that you think. You make it up. You make it up in your mind. I don't think Jay likes me. Well, what makes you think that? Because he never sits next to me. And you'll build a case on that. He never shakes my hand when I get out in the parking lot. I followed him around for 10 minutes the other day, and he never turned around one time. That's in your head. Now, in Jay's head, now let me tell you what Jay's head's saying. Jay's saying, man, I'm sitting on this front row. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want nobody mess with me. I just want to be here to hear the word. Nothing between me and my Savior. I just want to hear the word. That's all I want. Then to get out of church, I got to get out of building because, you know, that Jim, he's breathing down my neck to get out of the auditorium. I can't stand him, but he's the deacon. So I guess I'll get out of the auditorium. Now this is going on in Jay's mind. Now, you've already got your mind made up. Jay don't like you. And then Jay's got a call from his boss and a text from his boss. He's like, oh, I got to go home because I got this thing to do for work. And that's going through Jay's mind. And he ain't worrying about standing out talking to people in the parking lot. He ain't even thinking about you. And in your mind, you walk out the door, there goes Jay again. I knew he didn't like me. Can't stand him. I'll cut his tires next Sunday. But that's what we do when we lean on our own understanding. When we lean on our thinking, we build cases, and it has nothing to do with anybody else but you and the devil having a pity party. And they don't want the truth. The Bible said there was going to come a time that they won't endure sound doctrine. That's now. They won't hear it. They don't want it. And when you hit them hard, they get all, oh. You know, I got some plants. They're temporary hothouse plants. They're actually going in my garden. They don't know it yet. I got them growing in my windowsill. And I started them back in February. Belinda would be proud. Now they're growing. We went away for a week and come back, and I think there must be the green beans. It got cold, and they were up against the window. I won't come in. They're all laid over. It's like, poured water to them, put them away from the glass, and they're starting to recover. But they don't understand. They're going out in the hot sun. And that's what people are. They're hothouse plants. They can't take no rebuke. They can't take correction. Can't take anything. You tell them they're wrong, they wilt. You say they're not going all the way, they wilt. I want a little fight back. I want a little push back. When I say I'm the only one that got it, I want to hear you say, oh, no, you're not. Yeah. When I say I'm outlast you, I want to hear you say, no, you won't. Right. If I say I'm outlast you, I'm like, oh, this is my last service. Something's wrong with you. You need a little strength. You need a little strength. You need a little word in there. You get enough word in there, ain't nothing going to stop you. Right. You're going to endure to the end because you know the word says you're going to endure to the end. Nothing should be able to do that to you. Oh, little flock, do not fear. The age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. They will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual satanical power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are come upon the earth, for he who loves his own loves them to the end. That's John 13:1. I think about Brother Branham. Won't do it because I'm closing out. But I just went over there and I got the whole story here, and Brother Branham was talking about him going under some things and pressure, and he was going through some things. His father, his brother had died. And they buried his brother. Then his father died. They buried him in the same cemetery. And while he's looking across from his father's grave, he can see the flowers still on his brother's grave, fresh. Then his wife got sick and died. Then his little baby got sick and was on her deathbed. And Brother Branham was concerned, and he was looking at it, and he was talking to himself, thinking, and the devil was talking to him. He said, you went out and you preached and you healed all the sick and you did all these things, and you did all these things for God, and here you have your little baby in your arm dying, and God's not doing a thing to help you out. The thanks you get for serving that kind of God, that's the devil. He'll talk to you like a human being. And if Brother Branham, he said, just to read the last little bit of this, this is your life worthy of the gospel. This is just a little snippet. Then when I thought, what? Who am I anyway? Who am I to question his majesty? His Brother Branham started questioning. He started thinking, you're right, Satan. See, that's what we do. We listen to Satan's lie and start agreeing with it. You have to put the word in right away. The sooner you put the word on the devil's lie, the easier it'll be. Because he will build a case. So who am I anyway? Who am I to question his majesty? Who am I to question the creator that gave me the very life here on earth? Where did I get that baby? Who gave it to me? Not mine anyhow. He just loaned her to me for a while. I said, Satan, get away from me. See, that's what you got to do. You got to put the devil in his place. And you can now. I said, Satan, get away from me. I went over and laid my hands on the baby, and I said, God bless you, sweetheart. In a minute, Daddy will take you down and put you in Mommy's arms. Her mother was in the morgue. Put your mother's arm. The angel will pack you, your little soul away, and I'll meet you in the morning. I said, Lord, you gave her to me. You're taking her away. Though you slay me, like Job said, yet will I love you, and I believe you. And if you send me to hell, I'll love you anyhow. I can't get away from that. There you are, just being intellectual, but it all broke away. See, he was being intellectual, talking with the devil. Yeah, I did do all this for God. Yeah, God did do this, and yeah, I did do that, and yeah, God did take my dad and my brother and my wife, and yeah, God is taking my daughter. All that intellectual, he pushed it aside. You got to do it. It all broke away, but you got to have a personal relationship. You've got to be born again. That's the only way that's going to work. The only way you can push all that off of you, as much as you think you have on you, you'd have nearly that. But oh, you're upset because you got a finger that grew wrong and the nail's not right. And you're upset because your spare tire is just a little flat. You're upset because they gave you the wrong meal at the restaurant. Y'all ain't never had that. But here the man lost everything. And he shook himself. And see, that's what we got to do. We got to shake ourselves and get all that unbelief off. When the devil lies to you, you tell him the word. That's why we got to be here, to hear the word so we know what to give the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. You do that all day long. It is written. Because as the devil lies, you keep putting the word on him. We're not tempted by God. We're tempted by the devil. But I gotta close. Let me get on down here to one last little quote. Oh, little flock, do not fear. This age is fastly closing. As it does, the tares will be bound together. I think I read that. They'll be bound together, but he has us. We can endure to the end. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Anything that doesn't match the word is Satan. When he tells you you can't go, tell him he lies. When he tells you you don't feel it, tell him he lies. When he tells you you're not good enough, tell him he's lying. Because we're going to endure to the end. That's what you tell him. Says, the bride will endure to the end, Satan. You got to get off my back. You got to leave my family alone. You got to move somewhere else. Because I'm not going to listen to you. Because the word says, I can go to God because I came from God. And it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to stay with what thus said the Lord. I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to last. I am not going to give in to Satan's lie at all. No matter how I feel. He that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Satan's lie is to lie to you. That's what he does. And he only does it to get you out of the house. And after that, he don't even follow you around. He don't make you go there to be the worst person in the world. He don't turn you into Hitler. You go out there and you'll just deny that you're a son or daughter of God. You'll say, well, everybody else is son of God. I must not be. No, that's just a lie. But if Satan can get you to believe that, that's all he needs. Then you're useless to God down here. We are going to endure until the end because we're the same ones that's going to be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for giving us what we need to overcome. We've got it. We just need to use it. We need to press towards the mark of the high calling. Overcome Satan. Push everything else aside. And let your word have our lives. Not doubt who we are, but Lord, let it be stronger than ever before to know who we are. Let us shake loose of everything that the world tries to throw at us. And let's not get comfortable in this world order. But let's look to your word, knowing that the word is the only thing that matters. Our jobs don't matter. Our friends don't matter. Our families don't matter. It's your word that matters. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Ask you to bless this congregation. And I pray for those who are weak in faith right now that, Lord, you will strengthen them. Don't take them out of the trial, but bring them through it because it'll make them stronger. You said in St. John 17, don't take them out of the world, but keep them in it. Ask you to do so for our congregation. Ask you to do it for the bride around the world. In the hour that we're living in, we've got more worth than they've ever had, and we've got more reason to live than they ever had. And we have more reason to stand than they ever have. Thank you for it all, Lord. Help us to endure. Help us to stand strong. And let your word just direct our lives. And let us let nothing come between us. Let nothing move in our way that'll hinder us from doing what we're ordained to do. Thank you for your word, Father. Ask you to bless and be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget we have services tonight. Pray for those that are away. Some are out on vacation and different ones. We want to always keep them in our prayers because this is what our life is about. It really is. The rest of it, we can take it or leave it. But if we can just stand and hold to God's hand, we will have what we need. And if we can do that, then we will be stronger than ever before. Amen. Now, I said we're going to stop testifying at the end of service, so you can bring that tonight. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. He's purchased it all. He purchased it. And now I want to give that back to him. Your salvation is paid for. It's free. You don't have to do anything but believe it's to you. If you can believe it's to you, then it's to you. It's all yours. You don't have to bring nothing. Don't have to give nothing. Don't have to offer nothing. Just say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe I'm going to endure to the end. Because I'm the same one that's going to be saved. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock. God bless you.
I love him. Yes, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Yes, I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary.
How about this? Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name, and that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, yes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his love. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name. You're dismissed.